money, and he started waving it around and screaming hysterically. So it was a really fun time. But you didn't have to be told on that day that the parents loved their daughter very much. Whether the baby chose the yarn or the pencil or the money, you knew that the parents loved their daughter very much. It was a special day for the baby. It was a special day for their parent, for the baby's parents. It was their first child's first birthday. In today's passage, we're going to see that it was a special day for Jesus as well. Though the crowd that gathered around him that day may not have known it, it would be the beginning of his public ministry. At the age of 30, he would then go on from being baptized here in the Jordan River to bring sight to the blind, to heal the paralytics, to walk on water, to raise people from the dead. It was a really special day for Jesus, and it was a really special day for his father as well. And you can almost imagine the expression that God had of joy for his son. But so that we wouldn't have to imagine that, God wrote it out for us in the scriptures. If we could read together. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. In this account, we hear a voice from heaven, God's voice, and it tells Jesus three things. "You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." In this passage, as it goes on, you find that Jesus is taken into the wilderness and is tempted. And in the account from Matthew, it's even clearer that Jesus is able to resist these temptations. Basically, Satan comes to him during this fasting period, and he says, "Well, if you really are the Son of God, then turn this stone into bread. If you really are who you say you are, if you really are the Son of God, then jump off this high place. And won't his angels come to protect you from harming yourself?" And it's a time that Jesus is tested, and I really feel that in this passage, where God had this moment, sort of this public inauguration, where God affirmed Jesus, Jesus was able to resist these temptations. He knew who he was. He didn't have to prove himself to the enemy. He didn't have to prove his identity. He had been affirmed in the Father. Well, if this is true for Jesus, then is it also true for us? Where do our voices of affirmation come from? Do they come from our education or from our academic credentials, or possibly do we hear them in the roles and responsibilities in our workplace or even here in the church? Maybe you receive affirmation from your friends. Or maybe we receive it from our family for our accomplishments. But what I want to share today is that if we can come to understand our identity, if we recognize who we are in Christ, then we will be affirmed, and we will also be living in the Spirit and able to resist temptations and to live a life of purpose. Why is it important that we understand who we are in Christ? There are a lot of voices, and whether these voices be from our family or from our workplace, they're not necessarily bad voices, but they're not the voice of the one who speaks into us our true identity and worth. I have a friend that some years ago, while I was studying in seminary, we had a communications course together, and it was a small class of about 8 or 10, and we each had to, every other day, we had to come up and do a short speech. And there was one particular person, her name was Susan, and we came up this day, and a lot of people that day were really loud, really bold, great personalities, very engaging. But Susan was very, very quiet. She was really, really shy, She was so nervous that she had to read her manuscript word for word. But no message spoke more to me that day than hers. And the moment she finished and she sat down, I asked her for a copy of her manuscript. And it was from that manuscript that I made the premise of today's sermon. And in it, she talks about her two children. And she has one son. And she explains, it seemed that from the beginning, you know, ever since the baby was born, it seemed to have a very confident manner about himself, very sure of himself, didn't really get entangled in sort of trouble, really easily able to make friends, very confident, very accomplished even at a young age. And then she began sharing about her other son and how shy and how quiet and how it never seemed that he could really make friends and how it never seemed that he was really confident and really sure of himself. And the mother, Susan, would pray that God would just bring someone into his life, a friend, a best friend, someone to encourage, someone to just make feel welcome. And she prayed and she prayed and she realized that she had been praying for the wrong thing, that only God could speak into her son the truth of who he was and to find that identity to be confident in. God's words of affirmation are powerful. God's words of affirmation are meaningful. They're meaningful to Jesus, and they're meaningful to us. At this point, you know, I read in the passage, you know what God's words are to Jesus. You know what he said. He says, you are my son. I'm well pleased with you. What's the third one? You are my son. With you, I'm well pleased. Oh, my goodness. And I love you. Well, that's what God says to Jesus. And so what I did was I wanted to go through the Bible and find a passage that I could share this same message to you. And I went through and I looked through the scriptures and I came across 1 Peter chapter 1. And in it, it says that we're a holy nation, that we're blessed, we're anointed, we're a people that have reason to rejoice, we have an inheritance. But it wasn't exactly the same as the passage that we read here about Jesus. And so I struggled a bit. And so then I looked up in my computer program. And I have a computer program in my computer. And basically, you can type in words, a particular phrase or a key word, and this program will look up all the verses in the Bible where it has this word or phrase. And I typed these words in, and again, in no other place could I find these words, these exact words. And what I was looking for was something like, you know, a reference to maybe to the disciples or to Abraham or Moses, you know. Moses, you know, you are my child, you are my people, I love you, with you I am well pleased. And so I struggled with this quite a bit, and I felt like I was stuck, and I wanted to share the same blessing with you. And it was late at night when it sort of dawned on me, and I began to weep, and I began to cry, because I was searching so hard for something that was so simple. Our affirmation, God's words of affirmation to us come from one place, and one place alone. They come from the cross of Christ. It was on the cross of Christ that God said to us exactly, you are my children, and I love you so much. And you are so precious to me. And you are so much worth and value. Well, why is it important that we recognize that our identity is in Christ and Christ alone? You guys may remember in the 80s, there was an old version of Superman. And you guys know that there's a new version coming out. And I read a little bit on it, and it's not exactly the same. They're doing a little different plot. But imagine if Superman decided at a young age that he didn't want to be a superhero. Imagine that at a young age he wanted to be something else. In the movie, we see him, the one shown in the 80s with Christopher Reeve, you see him as a high school student. And you can say that his career options are limitless. You can say that, you know, Clark Kent, he can do a lot of things. Imagine, instead of Superman, if he wanted to be the world's greatest striker or a football player, you know, what would they say about him? Clark Kent, the greatest striker that ever lived, better than Beckham, is what they'd say. Not only could he kick a ball really hard or fast, but gosh, Clark Kent, he could really lift up heavy things. And so imagine that, if he decided at a young age, well, you know, I don't want to be a superhero. I want to be Mr. Universe, you know? And what would they say of him? Wow, Clark Kent, the strongest man that ever lived. And not only could he lift things that were really heavy, but he was a really good-looking guy, you know, with his firm facial features and protruding pectorals, right? You know, what would they say of him, you know? Superman. No, not Superman. It's super male, the model that can do it all. But in the movie, it goes on, and while he's in high school, he finds this, how do you explain it? It's like a little gem. It's like a green glowing gem. And he recognizes that he's a little different from the other people in town. And so he one day wanders and says, you know what, this is no longer my home. And he leaves his home, and he begins searching for his identity. And he comes to this place where it's barren and it's icy. And I don't know why, maybe out of frustration, but he throws this crystallized seed of sorts. And basically, it plants into this like barren tundra, and it begins to grow into this huge ice crystal castle fortress. And in this fortress, he walks in, and not only that, but it also had a crystallized crystal media room. And I was like 6 years old or seven. I'm sure I watched it again later. It's the only way I remembered it, but. He walks in and he sits down in this like crystal media room, and it's there in that place that he sees his father for the first time. It's there in that place that he hears his father's voice for the first time, and he hears his given name, and his father speaks into him who he is and the special attributes and gifts that he possesses. And Clark Kent hears all that he ever wanted to hear. He's now been affirmed in his identity. His father has spoken into him who he is, and he has now been called to live according to that truth. If you could just bow your heads, I know this is really simple, but if I could just ask you guys to bow your heads. I just want you to ask yourself, have you been hurt by family, or have you been hurt in the workplace? Have you been working hard for a position or a title that you put all your investment, all your energy into, and only for it to be given to another? Does your own family or parent or siblings not affirm you or even look down at you? Or on the other side, what if you are on Team A and not Team B? What if you have accomplished all the things that you've wanted and are going to accomplish more? Are these the things that speak into us, our true identity? I wanted to just close by sharing a simple suggestion, simple prayer. Your divine purpose is to be a people who glorifies God in all that you do. It means you're a team leader who serves by working as hard as the circumstances permit, while at the same time looking for every opportunity to build friendships and share the good news to those in the community which God has placed you. It means that you're an employee who's committed to reach the height of your goals, yet along the way making the time to reach out and befriend those surrounding you in the workplace, in hopes that they might come to revelation that Christ is their Savior. It means you're a teacher who's dedicated to preparing lesson plans and offering the highest level of understanding while allowing room for a relationship outside of the classroom in hopes that your student will one day mature into an adult and will remember the example of their Christian teacher. If you're an artist or a performer, it means that you use your gifts and passions and these things that draw people to you, using that as an opportunity to share the life of Christ that has set you free. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters here. Lord, you have done it all. You have gone the distance, Lord. And Lord, when we recognize Jesus, the ultimate price that you have paid, Father, then we realize that we don't need voices of affirmation from anywhere other than you. Lord, we know that you have spoken to us on the cross, and you have said to us that we are your precious children. And Father, I ask that this day, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that we would seek to glorify you. Lord, that we would seek to share this news, Father God, with all those around us. Lord, we give you thanks, Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.
Let's just close our service, just sing to the Lord. Huh?